Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Vext Science's first quarter 2021 financial results conference call. As a reminder, this call is being recorded on Wednesday, May 26, 2021. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we'll conduct a question and answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for research analysts to queue up for questions. If anyone has difficulty hearing the conference, please press star followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. I would now like to turn the conference over to Jonathan Ross. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Colin. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us today. Vext's first quarter 2021 financial results were released earlier this morning. The press release, financial statements, and MD&A are available on SEDAR, as well as on the Vext website at vextscience.com. We would like to remind listeners that portions of today's discussion include forward-looking statements. There can be no assurance that these forward-looking statements will prove to be accurate or that management's expectations or estimates of future developments, circumstances, or results contained therein will materialize. Risks and uncertainties that could affect future developments, circumstances, or results are detailed in the MD&A and Vext's other public filings that are made available on SEDAR, and we encourage listeners to read those risk factors in conjunction with today's call. As a result of these risks and uncertainties, the developments, circumstances, or results predicted in forward-looking statements may differ materially from actual developments, circumstances, or results. This presentation also includes non-IFRS financial measures, and such non-IFRS financial measures are subject to the disclosure and reconciliation included in our news release disseminated earlier today. Forward-looking statements made during this conference call are made as of the date of this call. Vext disclaims any intention or obligation to update or revise such information except as required by applicable law. Vext financial statements are presented in U.S. dollars and the results discussed during this call are in U.S. dollars. I am joined in the call today by Eric Offenberger, Chief Executive Officer of Vext, and Vahan Ajamian, Chief Financial Officer. I will now pass the call over to Eric.
Thanks, John. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining our Quarter 1 2021 Financial Results Conference Call. As this is our first quarterly conference call, I'd like to start with a quick overview of the company, our assets, and our strategy for anyone new to the Vext opportunity. Vext's primary focus is on the Arizona market, where we have operated successfully within the medical market since 2013 and received approval to enter the recreational market in January of this year. Vext operates two dispensaries in Phoenix, one of which we believe is a top-performing dispensary in the state. We also currently have two indoor cultivation facilities, one in Phoenix and one in Prescott Valley, with a total of 20,000 square feet under canopy, expanding to 24,000 square feet by the end of quarter one, 2022. The Prescott Valley site also includes an outdoor cultivation space. To this point in time, we have leased these facilities, but in early April, we announced that we had secured agreements to purchase them outright. The purchase of our Phoenix facility is already closed, while we expect the purchase of the Prescott Valley indoor and outdoor operations to close in June. In addition to the expansions to our existing footprint, we recently announced our decision to purchase an industrial facility in Eloy to build out as a large-scale indoor cultivation center. The City of Eloy approved our plans to build out a cultivation facility on May 11th. We expect to close that transaction in June and to take roughly 9 months to bring it up to 34,000 feet under canopy. So, with Eloy coming online and our expansion of our existing facilities, we expect to almost triple our total production capabilities to roughly 58,000 square feet under canopy over the next 10 months. Vext operates on a fully integrated basis. On May 20th, we also announced that the state of Arizona had approved Vext to begin operating an expanded manufacturing facility in Phoenix. Previously, we were conducting extraction, concentrate production, and manufacturing out of a portion of one of our cultivation facilities, which we can now allocate to producing additional biomass while we wait for our Eloy facility to come online. The expanded manufacturing facility gives us roughly four times more space, enables us to meet increased demand for our brand Vapen, and improves throughput as we grow. All of these expansions are fully funded by the cash on our balance sheet and our expectation for continued internal cash generation, as demonstrated with first quarter results. Our wholly owned Vapen brand is one of the leading brands in Arizona and is stocked by the vast majority of dispensaries in the state. Awareness of the Vapen brand extends well beyond Arizona, thanks to effective in-state marketing and a quality promise that has built the brand's reputation and resulted in a significant social media following. We currently produce a full line of branded products, including flower, concentrates, extracts, edibles, vapes, topicals, and tinctures. Our new manufacturing was designed with a dedicated product development area, which is not something that was available in the space we were using before, and will enable our team to continue innovating our portfolio of branded products to meet consumer demand. While Arizona remains our primary focus, Vex has a unique approach to building out in other markets. We have accumulated strategic beachheads in six markets outside of Arizona in a capital-light fashion with a consistent focus on returns. We have leveraged the awareness of the Vapen brand outside of Arizona as well as our proven operating capabilities and SOPs to strike JVs with partners primarily in limited license states. And currently, Vapen products is available through these JVs in Ohio, Kentucky, Nevada, Oklahoma, California, and ultimately Massachusetts. I will touch on Ohio a little later in the call, but we view Ohio as our next leg of growth, and we recently struck a deal to access a retail license in the state, along with the processing and wholesale arrangement we already have there. We expect to begin seeing the results of our JV operations in other states in our P&L later in 2021. I will now turn my attention to our Q1 financial results. Our team in Arizona continued to execute our strategy of delivering strong financial results in the first quarter, with revenue growing 43% sequentially to $9.2 million and 124% from $4.1 million in the same quarter last year. Even more importantly, Vex continued to translate its solid top-line results into growth in adjusted EBITDA, which was up 27% sequentially to $3.1 million and up from a loss in the same quarter of last year. Vex cash flow from operations continued to be positive to the tune of $2.3 million in the first quarter. We continued to generate positive diluted EPS during the first quarter. When the Arizona market transitioned to an adult use framework early in January, the speed of the move caught operators and consumers a bit by surprise, but the market has gained momentum and is demonstrating growth. Both of our operated dispensaries in Phoenix generated record results in March and April, with May so far continuing that trend. In our view, Arizona will continue to be one of the most attractive cannabis markets in the U.S. over the next few years, both from an absolute growth perspective as well as based on return on capital. With our two operated dispensaries in the Phoenix metro area and recently announced expansion in both our upstream and midstream footprints, Vex is positioned to continue to solidify a leadership position in the state. Vex has been profitable since 2016, and a focus on shareholder returns will continue to guide our strategy. While I will touch on Ohio shortly, Arizona is going to remain our principal focus from a capital allocation perspective over the next 12 to 24 months. Once our Eloy cultivation facility is up and running in early 2022, we will have more capacity than we require to support our current operated dispensaries, leaving more runway to further ramp up wholesale sales of our Vapen branded line of products and support future expansion to our retail network. As we have seen in other limited license states that have gone adult use, upstream capacity is a key competitive advantage to ensure supply as the market grows, provide additional margin, and support the accretive expansion of owned or controlled retail operations. I'd like to turn to our multi-state footprint for a moment, focusing on Ohio as an example of how we gain a foothold and begin to generate results in a new state. Ohio is a limited license state with a population of roughly 11.7 million and a growing medical market. The state has 51 operating dispensaries out of a total of only 60 that have been currently approved. Ohio reminds us of Arizona in many ways and has the return on capital characteristics we look for. In 2020, we struck an LOI with a partner in the state to get the Vapen brand in the market. Currently, Vapen is selling well, and we continue to expand the product offerings. Vapen is being stocked on the majority of dispensary shelves in Ohio. On March 15th, we announced that we had signed an LOI that will enable Vex to establish a retail presence in the state through a joint venture with an Ohio LLC. While it will take some time to solidify and wait for regulatory approval of the license transfer, we see Ohio as another leg of growth for Vex following Arizona. For the remainder of 2021, we will remain focused on generating organic growth through both our operated dispensaries and continued penetration and share of shelf space with the Vapen brand through the wholesale channel. We will also remain focused on building out our upstream and midstream operations, as I already outlined, which will support our organic growth objectives, build an additional high-margin revenue stream, and give us the operation to accretively add to our retail footprint when it makes sense to do so. Thanks for your time today. I look forward to continuing to update you through what we expect will be a very exciting year for Vex shareholders. I'd now like to pass the call to Vahan for a review of our financial results. Vahan?
Thanks, Eric, and good morning, everyone. As Eric noted, Vex continues to generate solid financial performance in the first quarter of 2021. Revenue during the quarter was $9.2 million compared to $4.1 million in Q1 of 2020 and $6.4 million in Q4 of 2020. As a reminder, Vex provides and charges for services provided to two Phoenix dispensaries that, in accordance with current regulations, are structured as not-for-profits. As a result, our revenue is segmented between management fees, professional services, product sales, equipment leasing, and property leasing. Given these distinct levers we have as to when and for what we can charge dispensaries, the revenue Vex reports on our financials may not perfectly match the underlying operations of our two primary customers, the not-for-profit license holders. That said, from a big-picture perspective, Q1 was a record quarter for both our results as well as for the actual dispensaries and wholesale businesses we manage. The good news is that this reporting structure looks to be a short-term phenomenon. The state has indicated that operators in the Arizona market will be provided with guidelines to transition to a more typical for-profit structure during 2021. Should we be in a position to acquire the licenses for the dispensaries we manage, we would certainly like to do so, as we expect it would make it easier to understand our financial results, reduce quarter-to-quarter fluctuations, and make our results easier to compare with those of operators in other states. While we are still waiting on the roadmap outlining how we may be able to acquire dispensaries directly, our goal would be to try and time any such change to take effect at the end of a quarter so as to not have a situation where we would report a mixed quarter, partly managing not-for-profits and partly owning dispensaries. Gross profit in Q1 was $4.2 million compared to $1.2 million in the prior year period and $3 million in Q4 of 2020. Gross margin in the quarter was 45.4% compared to 29.4% in the same period last year and 47.1% in Q4 of 2020. Vex has always operated very lean with a keen eye to return on capital. As a result of this approach and the factors I mentioned that drove higher gross margin, we generated $3.1 million in adjusted EBITDA in the quarter compared to an EBITDA loss of $74,717 in the same quarter last year and positive EBITDA of $2.4 million in Q4 of 2020. Once we are able to transition to a for-profit model, we see quarter-to-quarter fluctuations beginning to even out and become more predictable. Adjusted EBITDA margins remain strong at 33.4% this quarter. We generated positive, fully diluted EPS of 1 cent in the quarter, and operating cash flow of $2.3 million. Vext ended the quarter with a solid balance sheet. We had $16.4 million in cash at March 31st, and as Eric mentioned, the expansion plans we have outlined for the next 12 months are fully funded between that cash balance as well as internal cash generation. Thank you very much for joining us on our inaugural quarterly financial results conference call. I'll now turn it over to the operator for your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the question and answer session. Should you have a question, please press star followed by one on your touch-tone phone. You'll hear a three-tone prompt acknowledging your request, and your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Should you wish to decline from the polling process, please press star followed by two. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. One moment for your first question. Okay, your first question comes from Russell Stanley from Beacon. Russell, please go ahead.
Good morning, and congrats on your first call. First question, just around retail. Almost 4 months now into the adult use market, just wondering what lessons you've learned to this date around the adult use consumer in Arizona and how that compares to the medical patient in Arizona.
Russ, it's Eric. Good morning, and thanks for the question. So far, when we're looking at the adult use, the common theme was March was a lot of people coming in to see what it was, February the same type of a thing. The average ticket price has been less in our stores. One of them's in a more of an urban setting, and it was a really great medical market. It's not as much of a recreational market, while you still do get those customers. A lot of pre-roll sales. Again, as I said, lower transactional values. On the new store we opened in July, it's in a higher demographic as far as disposable income, and we're seeing bigger ticket prices in that store, and we think that trend will continue as we go forward. We're entering summer, so it's going to be a little bit hotter, and we won't have any tourists, and obviously coming out of COVID. So we anticipate that it'll still grow. It won't be as great as until in the fall when the weather gets better, and hopefully all the Canadians can come down and be tourists.
Excellent. Maybe a similar follow-up question around the wholesale business. Just wondering how that's evolved since the opening of adult use, and wondering, has your product mix on that front changed in any way? Has that business become any more or less competitive since the adult use market opened?
Well, remember, the vaping brand's done very well and been established. We have seen growth on the edible side, more demand for the edibles. The milligrams on that was limited to 100, so we've had to scramble a little bit, as was mentioned in our opening comments, that the market came on a lot faster than we had anticipated. That's all ramping up. We've got our increased production capacity. We're expanding the flavors offered on the gummy lines and those types of things. Cartridge sales are still really good. They're solid. The other products, the shatters, the waxes, the concentrate brands, they're doing well. We're seeing increased demand there. We think that'll continue. May seeing a little bit of a lull after the 420 rush where people will stock up, and then it'll balance back out in May, and we think that that'll continue to be the trend.
Maybe just one last question. I'll get back in the queue. Once you've added EOA, as you noted, you'll have excess capacity for beyond your own retail and perhaps wholesale needs. You've mentioned organic growth as a priority this year, but just wondering what you're seeing on the M&A front with respect to adding additional retail acquisitions, given how active Arizona's been on the M&A front over the last several months in particular. Are you still seeing opportunities that are attractive from a valuation perspective, and what might we see you do there? That's it for me. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that the M&A activity and what's attractive is, going to continue to be there, and some of the operators that would be a potential to join Vext are seeing what the adult use means to their business and where their valuations are and stuff. So I think that's going to continue. I don't see that changing, and I think there will be opportunities that present themselves, and we'll look at what makes the most sense for the valuation and for the shareholders.
That's great. Thanks for the color, and congrats again.
Thank you, Russ.
Your next question comes from Matt Bottomley from Canaccord. Matt, please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Congrats on the first quarter. Relatively new to the story here. So we saw a large transaction in this space in Arizona a couple weeks ago. So just wondering if you could give a little more background on, you know, what the actual regulatory framework is looking right now with respect to adult use, given that Arizona seems to be, in terms of new licenses, the highest barrier state, at least that I'm aware of, but there are going to be new social equity considerations. So just wondering if you can give the landscape right now and what those new licenses may look like and when they may come online and if there's, you know, plans to maybe have partnerships with that or any sort of consideration in that regard.
Well, thank you for the question. It's Eric again. On the social equity, the state has gotten out their, you know, proposed regulations for comment. I saw the last draft of that late last week, and I think that'll continue to change. They're trying to decide exactly what the basis will be, if it's an income component or in the operating requirements. That said, absolutely, with the VEXT model and our familiarity with the joint ventures, we think there's a real opportunity for us to partner with social equity license holders to have a equity stake in it to help them grow. And also we see that as a potential channel as we talk about the Eloy and the retail growth of the Vapen brand, that we see that as a real opportunity. We've had unofficial meetings with people that are interested in that area, you know, but they're tire kickers right now since we don't have regulations and we don't know exactly when the application process will be. That said, if the applications are anything like what happened on the last 13 that came out, we think there'll be a significant interest in it.
Great, that's helpful. And then another question in Arizona, just looking at, you know, there's about 130, 140 stores in the state, which is a relatively, you know, modest amount relative to the population. What we saw in Colorado, at least what I gleaned, was, you know, there was a lot of saturation with undercapitalized players, and some companies have been able to kind of roll up a number of, you know, retail arrangements there. You know, looking at the, you know, the Curaleaves and Harvest and some other companies in the space that are getting critical mass there, is there still a good population of these type of mom-and-pop players considering for M&A, just because it seems that the prices are fairly lofty in the transactions that we have seen on an individual store basis, but I imagine that it's still fairly disaggregated with respect to adding up to that entire 130, 140 license framework there.
Absolutely. I think you're spot on. That's our analysis of it, too. And the nice part is since we've been in the market since 2013 and we are in Arizona, we know a lot of those operators on a personal level, not just from a customer, but, you know, also hanging out with them, having lunch, you know, beers, whatever. So a lot of them are trying to figure out where they fit in, what they want to do. Some of them are younger in nature, so they're also looking at, you know, are they going to sell and have enough money to retire? Are they going to still be in the workforce? You know, where are they going? And I think those are some of the things that are settling out. And as people have more time to digest what's happening in the marketplace, that's when the opportunities are going to start presenting themselves, that they'll identify what it is they want. And they've been looking at the transactions that have been occurring to, you know, try to determine where they're at. That said, a lot of them are smaller operators and have had the licenses for a long time and don't have a lot of business acumen or other exposure to businesses. And, you know, they're not hiring professionals to help them. They're talking to people they know. And that's kind of how this is going to transpire for the remainders.
Great. I'll pass it on. Thanks again, guys.
Before the next question, as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, should you have a question, please press star followed by one. And your next question comes from Andrew Semple from Echelon. Andrew, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and congrats on the results. My first question here, I just wanted to ask on the supply situation in Arizona, as consumer demand built with the transition to the adult use market, do you, on the standpoint of your own branded products, as well as what was available in the wholesale market?
Hey, Andrew, I think you cut out there. Could you just repeat the question? Sorry about that.
Sure. Sorry about that. I'm just asking from the supply standpoint of the Arizona market, you know, do you feel comfortable that your dispensaries are adequately supplied when with the transition to the adult use sales from the standpoint of your own branded products as well as from the wholesale market?
Andrew, good question. It's similar to what I think you'd see in other markets. You know, on the flower side, that's the tightest, hardest for us to meet the demand of. We're buying more on the wholesale market there than we historically have. On the concentrate side, we have not really seen an issue with that. As part of our strategy anticipating adult use, you know, we've put the outdoor facility in to be able to get the biomass better controlled, that we don't have to buy as much in the open market. And we've had that available to us. So that's really what we're seeing. We think the flower will stabilize in the next 12-month period of time, but that'll continue to be the biggest push. That said, as we talked about in the opening comments, we're expanding our cultivation capabilities and have been doing such since November. And with Eloy coming on, you know, that's a, you know, 9 to 10 month proposition before that'll start to show any results to help us. But it'll still be flower, and that's good, because that's good for the market, because it'll keep the pricing more stable. And you know, who doesn't like a stable price that's on a retail storefront? You know, so good problem to have as far as we're concerned, and we just keep plugging away to make sure we're aligned with the proper people.
Great, that's helpful. And you know, very solid quarter-over-quarter growth. However, I did notice the gross margin and EBITDA margin pulled in a couple points. I'm just wondering if that was just reflecting a shift in the product mix, or you know, whether Vex had to utilize the wholesale markets a little bit more, maybe put some pressure on the margins. You could speak to the dynamics on what may have impacted the margins quarter over quarter. That would be helpful.
Yeah, the biggest impact to our margins is what Pahan talked about earlier. The fact that these are not for profits right now, and the levers that we have in order to invoice or bill the not for profit operation. So in the first quarter, the margin's going to have a little bit more pressure on it, because we're billing primarily for packaging materials and buildup of inventory at that point in time. Those margins are still very solid, but they're more of a product billing in the first quarter versus a softer cost of labor or something along those lines. So it really depends which lever we're going to pull in which quarter that's going to fluctuate the margin. And that's what Bahan had mentioned in his comments, that with the for-profit, we'll be able to have that as a more traditional and smooth, instead of it being a function of the product. Fahand, is there anything you'd like to add on that?
No, I think you've covered fairly well. It's all a matter of which levers we pull and to what extent any given quarter. And yeah, this quarter, it's the packaging where you have the direct costs that you have to pass through, which tend to have slightly lower margins. But especially given the revenue jump from Q4 to Q1, I'm pretty happy with how the gross and EBITDA margins lined up this quarter.
Great. And just a final question here on Ohio. I believe they issued another round of dispensary license applications, or one that's coming in this summer. Obviously, that should help support a stronger wholesale market in that state. I'm just wondering if that announcement would change your plans at all in Ohio relative to what you're currently planning in that market.
Andrew, I think that really if you look at it from our standpoint, yeah, Ohio's going to go from 60, they're going to add another 70, so it's going to go to 130. We identify Ohio as almost identical to us as Arizona, and that's why we like that market so much. So we think it's going to behave similar to Arizona, has maybe potentially more upside because of the population difference between the two states. In the long run, we think they'll eventually go to a recreational model like most states do. The medical program continues to grow. We'll obviously try to secure additional licensing on the retail front there in Ohio. And we see it as a positive, exactly like you're seeing it, that the market will continue to grow.
That's it. Thanks for taking my questions. Congrats on the quarter.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from David Levine from Trickle Research. David, please go ahead.
Fellas, how you doing?
Morning, David.
So I had a lot of questions answered. I've been following this story for a long time and trying to model it, and I haven't been very good at it. It's been difficult because of all the levers, as you refer to them. But, you know, just a general comment, I really feel like actually your numbers were pretty close to what we had, and I feel like, you know, in spite of the levers, and I know that's still going to be the subject of some variability going forward, but I feel like the visibility in general is improving here. I mean, maybe it's just one quarter and that doesn't constitute a trend, but, you know, I feel like the visibility around your numbers is improving. Is that, do you feel that way, or did I just get lucky maybe this quarter?
No, I think the visibility is definitely getting improved. You know, candidly, we put together a good team that actually, you know, with Mahan and the gentleman at Lodrock and everything, and that we're putting together a good team that's helping us tell the message better than we were in the past. You know, it's been profitable since 2016. We continue to generate, you know, positive cash flows, and we run the business. And I've always told anybody that listened, we're operators. The team's a bunch of operators, and we needed help on the capital market side. And we've gotten the right people into place now, and that's helping tell the story. Fahan, you know this industry very well. You know, what color would you add to it?
Yeah, I agree. I think as the Arizona market has now transitioned to adult use, you know, we are seeing this, you know, very nice gradual ramp up every single month. We now have two dispensaries as opposed to one. So I think we're getting to that critical mass, or hopefully we'll get there fairly soon, where, you know, any one quarter or any one month or any one sort of timing of shipments will impact the consolidated results less and less as we go forward, as we just increase in scale and you have that critical mass. So I'm pretty pleased with how things are going. So good work on nailing the numbers for the quarter.
I think the critical mass issue is probably the issue I was looking for. So let me just ask you something conceptually as we move forward then, because, you know, obviously now you have this focus on the upstream and the midstream. I think that makes sense to me as you sort of, as adult use rolls out, it sort of seems like that's going to drive, you know, a new level of demand. I know that you're still wrestling with numbers, but can you give us any sense of where you sort of look out there and see where you start to transition from being a, you know, a buyer of upstream product to that sort of surplus you noted? I mean, is there some place out there where you kind of look and go, okay, that's the place where that'll probably happen?
I think that's tough to answer right now, David, because, you know, we're still trying to see how the adult use goes, and we've got plans to increase our footprints. You know, that's one of the big challenges in Arizona has always been that the size of the store could only be 2,000 square feet in the Phoenix Metro, and they're going to allow us to go to 5,000, but you still have your setbacks and zoning issues and everything to deal with. We feel confident that we'll be able to get both stores to that 5,000-foot magic number soon, which will give us the ability to absorb more of the product ourselves. You know, we have ample parking in the locations, but it does get challenging with COVID and increased demand of getting customers through in a time that we find acceptable and not having them in the queue way too long. So it's hard to say what that point's going to be. We have the nice thing is we have the demand. We are tight on the supply on the flower side. We have the asset now identified, and we have the capital structure to build it out. So, you know, we see it as a, you know, relatively short term of, you know, 2 to 3 quarters before we really start to see it come on the line and get a better feel for it.
Yeah, and I suppose ultimately that question sort of dovetails into the question prior, which is sort of about margins, and I guess that is what I was really trying to get at. So well, we just got to wait and see how that rolls out. But listen, I thought this was a really, really positive quarter, and I'm very encouraged by what's happened. I think, like I say, visibility seems to be tightened, getting to that critical mass issue, and this was a really great quarter. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you, and thanks for following us. Staying with us.
There are no further questions at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference call for today. We thank you for participating and ask that you please disconnect your lines.